Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are with me. We are coming on the heels of the Royal Rumble, so a lot to get through. We got to get through the rest of 2008 before we transition into 2009 for wrestling. Again, shout out to Netflix, because Netflix has done a bang-up job of just stripping us of all of the glory that is 2009 Monday Night Raw. It's terrific. The SmackDowns are still on Peacock, right?
Yes, and ECW.
My network was so bad. Oh, God. Let's get into the Rumble, because I've heard a lot of superlatives for this Rumble. Best Rumble ever. Best written storylines. Yada, yada, yada. It was a fun show, top to bottom. I thought the Indianapolis crowd was really good. I think it highlights that Death Rumble sucks again, but hey, we'll get through that. Let's start there before we actually get into the men's Rumble, because there's been more and more chatter about Death Rumble and, you know, what the future holds for WWE music. But I think this is, what, the third or fourth Rumble in a row that people have gone through it and they don't know who the hell's coming out, because theme songs don't matter.
I think that's giving this too much credit, because I think that certain people just... the crowd doesn't care. There's only so much you can do.
That's part of it too, yeah.
I mean, like, there's so many people. Unfortunately, mostly the women who just they keep trying. No one moves.
Okay, well, we didn't got to talk about the women because I guess my issue with that is that Lyra didn't get her woo, yeah. But that's not their fault. Finn Balor. Let's separate Finn Balor real quick. And I thought this when he came out, because I'm like, where the fuck is Finn Balor? Same for Shinsuke. When Star Shinsuke's music first came out, I'm like, who the fuck is this? You know, it's the guys you would feel are top men on, you know, in the company who had memorable themes have now been stripped of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the thing. And like, you know, there's no perfect answer to it, I guess. Just because, like, you know, everyone's like, "Oh, bring Jim Johnson back." He hasn't worked there. And
we thought they brought Jim Johnson back for a slight minute.
But also, like, Jim Johnson didn't create a bunch of good songs. He had bad ones also.
Well, yeah,
there were forgettable ones too. Some things are just crazy.
Just look at me.
Yeah,
just because of nostalgia. That's just.
I guess the thing is though, like, take someone like, you know, Too Cool. They had a memorable entrance, even if they weren't, you know, the biggest things on the show, and right. You know, they had a great Rumble moment because of it. Like, no, it's an entrance thing.
I agree, but like, but again, like, this is a how far can you go into the threshold?
Yeah, well, that's fair.
I get your point. That's very fair. Let's start with the final three. It was Logan Paul for some reason. John Cena and Jey Uso. And of course, Logan Paul is not going to be a part of the final two, so knocked him out. And then you get Jey Uso, who has been getting a lot of favor from the crowd, even despite all of the vitriol he may be getting on the internet and people saying that no one cares about him, just the people, the paying audience in the crowd.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the guy we all think is going to win... it's John Cena, and they did all the pomp and circumstance for Cena. You know, we'll hold off on Cena and get to him in the moment. But at the very end of the day, and I said this to my girl, what if Jey wins? When they did the final two, I'm like, what if Jey wins? It's been very much trending, I felt, in that way. Because if you paid attention to the last couple of Rumbles, it's never usually the guy that you really think it's going to win. Or if they get around to that way, it's a swerve. And I feel like they did a very good job, whether you want Jey to win or not, they did a very good job in making you think that Jey had no chance. And for Jey to pull that off in the end, I think was very good booking. Now where you go with it is another question. And how you book the WrestleMania match, because it's seeming like he's going to wrestle Gunther, is another thing. You get to that point when you get to that point. I respect them for going with the high hand. I respect them for going with SGA when SGA has been putting up 40 every night. Because that's what Jey Uso has been doing. Jey Uso has been stealing the crowd every night. He's gotten the momentum. It's the reason he came out with Travis Scott. It's the reason he came out with Quavo. They're really trying to capitalize on it. So I respect them for going with that move. Now we'll see what they do with it forward.
See, it's interesting you because that you brought up that you asked what if Jay wins when he was down to the final two. I thought the same thing quietly in my head, and I thought to myself, like, okay, I kind of know how this works by now, especially when you're in the final two, because for so many years, they put Roman in that spot where it made people think, oh, he was going to win, and then what happened? He got eliminated, and they got the good reaction that they wanted to instead of having Roman eliminate the guy that the crowd wanted to win. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, people like John Cena, but people really like Jey Uso right now. Are they really going to have Cena eliminate the guy who's popular in every building in the world right now? So that little seed of doubt was all that I needed to keep watching and think, okay, maybe Jay's actually going to win this, and then he did. And I'm just like, wow. I wasn't expecting it, but like you said, I give them a lot of credit for riding with the hot hand, because usually we have to try and, you know, yell at them to strike when the iron's hot. And mm-hmm. in this case, they did. They've responded to everything.
Yeah.
And they've been receptive to that. And I think there's definitely an angle of goodwill to that. And it shows, you know, not in a demanding, petulant way all the time. But if there's enough commotion that the fans make about someone, that person will get rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the thing. Like, I don't think there was a clear favorite this year outside of Cena, who now we know isn't going to be around for another month. So, like, that would have been weird. You know, I thought Punk going into it, just because they did really hammer that home on
the I was really starting to feel like Punk was going to win it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see where that whole thing goes with the three of those guys. But, like, Jay winning is fine. Everyone, you know, wanted to make a big thing about it. It's all anyone could talk about for the first, like, 3 days of this week for some reason, which is way too long to...
Considering events that have happened recently, if that's the thing you're talking about, you don't have any problems.
So, I mean, again, I've never been his biggest fan, but, like, I thought the match with Gunther at Saturday Night's Main Event was awesome, actually. And, Jay Gunther going to WrestleMania, that's the least of my concerns as far as, you know, some of the other proposed big matches on the card where, like, they're going to be fine. You know, Gunther's going to beat him down a couple weeks. Maybe Jay will miss TV for a couple weeks. And then, you know, by the time Mania rolls around, they're going to be ready to give him the title. And that's part of having two titles now, too. You know, we've talked about that. Like, he's a guy that we specifically said, like, hey, you can do this. And, you know, it'd be good. And it was a surprise. I don't think a surprise Rumble winner is a bad idea. Every once in a while.
No.
You know, you could argue Cody was a surprise last year as well.
I would say so.
Turns out there was a million other things going on at that moment. So, you know, but yeah, Jay was a genuine surprise. And it's like, I get it. Like, yeah, he's not Bret Hart in there, but like, he's fine. I mean, he's been on television for 15 years. You got to be doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congrats to Jey Uso. Looks like we're getting Jey Uso and Gunther. We'll save the predictions down the line.
Yes.
There's so much to think about when it comes to that scenario. But the man he eliminated, John Cena, went on the mic in the post show afterwards and gave a all-time John Cena promo. If he never gives another great promo in his life, which he probably will, he's John Cena. Then this was the one that everyone's going to remember. And he flat out stated what his goal was for this final year. He made it very clear he is gunning for 17. We will see if he gets it. You know, I think that's the thing about retirement stories in WWE specifically, in that you don't see the person going out usually getting the banner treatment on the way out. You know, Shawn Michaels didn't get the championship run. He got to wrestle in some championship matches, but it was always like you knew Shawn Michaels wasn't going to win. Who always worried about Shawn Michaels winning this one? And then, you know, most of the other guys have either not been as quality, Ric Flair, such have you, you know, or it's just been out of the blue. So we'll see if this final year yields to 17, because I love the point of he wants to be around to shake the hand of the person who gets 18.
Yeah,
same.
Because Ric Flair is not going to be. Now, granted, John Cena can shake the hand of the man who gets 17 if he's still here, because he's tied with Ric Flair. But ties, no one gives a fuck about ties. Mm-hmm. No one will give a fuck about 16. It's all about John Cena getting 17. And I think that little bit of motivation that he showed on Sunday is really going to up the ante, up the further from the audience to go to the shows to watch him get 18 watch him get 17 to be the person to be there for his final shows in Toronto and Chicago and Philadelphia and all these other cities let's see what they do. Whether or not they put the title on him, I have no fucking clue. But I think it's re-energized people for the Cena final run. Upsettingly, he's not going to be around for the next month, like you said. So you don't really get an opportunity to capitalize on those dates in between for February. But hey, probably all cities they're coming back to anyway, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Get them on that tour to the UK. Say goodbye to the blokes out there. Come back home. Let's have a nice little season.
Yeah, I mean, plus if he has, 40 dates left for 10 months, he's going to be there pretty much every week then. So, whatever. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, I
they don't run house shows anymore.
They don't run many house shows anymore. We've talked about this maybe privately, maybe not on the show, but there's good and bad to that, obviously, with terms of the wrestlers not having to be away from their families all the time. They're probably getting better downsides now, but obviously those C&D towns are going to miss out, and that's always a shame, especially considering that most of them, they can't always get to the A&Bs.
Yeah.
Especially as they... It's not to say that the people in other international markets haven't earned the right to be fans of WWE and that they shouldn't get what they want, because there's arguments to be made that, they have it rougher than us and they're still out here all the time. And so it's a given.
And on that note, I mean, I think Cena's going to be mostly over that Europe tour.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So. He's going to be all over that. And in terms of Cena and this run, I've gone so back and forth on this, but I think at this point, I would prefer if they kept waiting for him to win. I think there's more money in having him get desperate and in the chase than him winning and then having someone every month just try and knock him off.
Yeah. No, I'm with you because, he doesn't even necessarily need to, drop the title to anyone. He could just win it at closer to the end of the year and just give it up, and that's fine. I mean, AEW just did that with Sting, and you either can do a tournament, or if it is the end of the year, you just say, hey, the Royal Rumble for, the WWE Championship, which they've liked to do a couple times in the past. So, the opportunity's there. I think he is probably going to win the Chamber and face Cody. I don't know if he's going to win, and... we'll have to see how the build of that match looks too, with two of the biggest baby faces in the past, 20 years that they've had. So it's gonna be interesting. There's a lot coming up that is gonna be interesting.
Now we got to the final three with the eliminations of three different men. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns were doing their usual bickering back and forth at the apron. CM Punk takes it upon himself to eliminate the both of them, while CM Punk is looking at them like, you fucking stupid asses. Logan Paul comes up and says, nah, you're the stupid ass. It continues. Roman looks at Punk like, yo, we just tagged together a couple of months ago. You gonna turn on me, bro? And meanwhile, Seth Rollins put all of his fucking force into his feet.
He did.
And slammed his head into the pavement. Good lord. Then he did it again to the rings, the steps of the ring. Fighting Punk the entire way through. We still don't know what the favor is that Paul owes Punk. There's a lot intertangled with the three of them, which always leads to WrestleMania. But I don't think we've ever seen a non-title triple threat at WrestleMania, at least of this magnitude, we haven't. Is that the case? Is that what we're going towards, or is someone from this three splitting off?
I think at this point, if you have someone split off, it kind of takes the wind out of the sails.
I think so.
You pushed a lot towards this now, and you had a lot happen in that 5-minute frantic sequence at the Rumble when he said. That he was, the next time he saw Roman, he was going to stomp him into the floor or whatever, into the ground. And he did. He got him with both feet. So he made good on his promise, and he went after Punk and vice versa. All I'm saying is that even if you don't have a title here, these are three of the top guys in the entire company and arguably the entire industry. Mm-hmm. All three of them have, like you said, they've intertwined, and it's not even just in the last year. We've got 10 years of hate here. We've got 12 years of connectivity with all of them because they were all around each other in 2012. Punk arguably brought them in canon along with Ambrose. So, and really the way that you could really make it interesting if they really want to do this, because I think if you have a match of that magnitude with that star power, I think a main event's night one. And all I'm saying is the originator, or I shouldn't say the originator, but the mastermind behind ECW three-way dances is literally right there. So they could do a three-way dance here.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
I mean, it's just – I get it. Like, I get the star power, but it's just – it is tough to wrap your head around a non-title triple threat main eventing one of the nights. Like,
and I think it isn't because we've had – Austin KO was a non-title main event. Yeah. We had a non-title main event.
But how about this? That match doesn't have to main event. There's going to be a lot of stuff on that card that's worthy of a main event. That match could very well open night one or night two. And I think you would be okay with it because it sets the tone.
Yeah, it does. And there's just so much personal animosity there, so much you can build off of. Like it's an attractive option, I think. And really, I think the other thing is that I know this is like whatever, you can say whatever you want with this. You could have a night one main event.
Yeah.
But if you do this triple threat match, you could have three showdowns in the match individually that represent three different WrestleMania main events.
Yeah.
Punk Roman, Seth, and Seth Punk are all three worthy of that stage.
That's true. And I mean, you know, it could be used now too as like, oh, we're setting the table for SummerSlam because that's kind of, I know WrestleMania is still the biggest show, but now you have these other big shows throughout the year.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
You can never, you know, kind of cycle down anymore.
No, you can't. You always have to look to the future.
Yeah. We had a little bit of a hiccup. Maybe a couple hiccups in the Royal Rumble. Let's actually talk about the first one and then get to the one later on in the show. Penta, my guy, you look really nice since you came over to the Federation. Welcome to the Federation. Congratulations. It's been a long time coming. You touched. Let's call a spade, you touched. And I was a little bit, I mean, granted, you needed him for later in the show, which is probably why you didn't go to the instant replay.
He was a little fired up in there. It took him a while to get kind of calmed down.
You saw it coming, didn't you?
Yeah.
It felt it. I'm like, one of you two are going to fuck up because y'all are doing the most right now. And you did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a good showing in the match. He was in there for quite, I think he might have gotten the Iron Man, actually. So he wound up.
He at least got 30.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's good to see him there. I don't think anything has really topped the Gable match yet, but he's only been in for a month, so.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Penta
was the Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah, congrats to Penta. I mean, they said you were going to get a big push in the Rumble. And
yeah.
Listen, if it was Vince's WWE, Vince would have nuked that fucking push.
Lord.
And then later on the show, LA Knight, I believe, was 28. I don't have it up right now. He's 29. He comes in, Fists of Fury, just wailing. And then he gets in the way when Priest and McIntyre are doing their little storyline, which could push to a potential WrestleMania feud. The story is Drew's pissed. He's cursing up and down the ramp, left the arena. And allegedly some other guys in the ring were also upset at LA Knight because he had to, quote, get off his moves. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? I mean, I feel bad for LA Knight because I don't even think he's thinking about it. You know,
he's not even thinking about that.
I think part of the problem, and you could have avoided this, there were too many people in the ring for like
many fucking people
for both Rumbles.
Yeah, for both.
Yes.
So like that probably could have been avoided if there weren't eight people in the ring already when he got in. But like, I don't know. I mean, I get why Drew was mad. I get why LA Knight did what he did. I think it's probably going to just blow over.
Yeah, it'll probably just
Drew might have even been playing it up a little bit.
Yeah, he probably
we've seen
was.
That over the past year plus from him.
So, you know what you do? You stick them in a match on SmackDown. You let Drew get his receipt.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what you do. Claymore to the face. Just don't concuss him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all you got to do. And we had some surprises. Not as many as we're used to. The one that we got, we all knew was coming, and that was Joe Hendry. He didn't last long, but I mean, it was cool to see the Joe Hendry Roman Reigns for a quick little second, even though Joe Hendry looked like a dork. But,
you know.
Good for Joe Hendry. Good for TNA, too. Having the champion in the Rumble.
Yeah, and you know what? Credit to I Show Speed, too, because he got...
Oh, he got cash. Fucking rocked. Sorry for Tozawa, too, because that would have been Tozawa's first Rumble if he got in the ring. So, I mean, it sucks on one end. You had a lot of people who didn't get in Rumbles. Shotzi on the women's side didn't get in. I think there were a couple women that people were pissed about that didn't get into the Rumble. You know, I guess you could say a couple dudes on the men's side. But, hey, Solo wasn't in the Rumble, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. But they got plans for Solo, so... That's okay. Speaking of Solo, I thought Jacob looked wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. That man's going places.
Absolutely. And
I love the juxtaposition of him a year ago in Tampa, and he's in the crowd, and he's going crazy for Oos, and now he's in the Fed doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles is back with his original theme. Thank God. Yeah. Good to see AJ back. We mentioned ISO Speed, so that's your men's Rumble. Let's talk about the women's Rumble. We all know Charlotte was winning. That's not the story here. The story isn't a Charlotte win. The story is everything that came afterwards. And I think Saturday, there was a good reception for Charlotte. Maybe it was a lot of smart fans that really enjoyed seeing Charlotte back. But when she got to Raw on Monday, that shit wasn't there in Cleveland, son. They gave her get the fuck away heat. And I don't know if WWE will pivot. I think they are planning on doing this Tiffany Stratton. We're taping this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, we're taping this Friday.
Prior to SmackDown, we don't know how SmackDown's going to go. We know she will be on SmackDown and there will be some kind of interaction with Tiffany Stratton. But however the crowd reacts during that segment, one way or another, that's going to determine where they go. And if Tiffany Stratton winds up being the babyface in this situation, I don't know.
I don't want to come off harsh or anything. I don't want to come off rude. This is my own perspective on everything. I've talked about this with Rob. The thing is, the fans aren't stupid. The fans are smart. They pick up on things. They see how things go. They see how things lie. They see what's ahead. And they also like who they like.
Yeah.
They've made that very clear. They don't – over the last 3 years, 4 years since they've come back from the pandemic, fandom's undergone a lot of changes. It's not the same things that we saw way back when previously. When they like someone, they're going to let you know. Conversely, they don't really not like anyone either. And when they don't like anyone, they usually just stay quiet.
Yeah, it's hard to get booed, like, unintentionally in WWE.
Yeah.
Like,
it's really hard to do that. And the thing with Charlotte is I genuinely think they're not – it's nothing against her. They're rejecting this because it's the same old thing that they're just used to.
Mm-hmm.
And she got babyface cheers before her injury. But at this point, you can argue that that's because she wasn't around the title. She was fighting damage control. She got back.
Yeah.
She linked back up with Becky and hugged it out. She was this and that. I don't know what was going to happen if she didn't get hurt, but if she was in a title situation again, she probably would have gotten booed again. She got booed in LA when she was wrestling Rhea and on the lead up there.
Yeah.
The crowd loves, adores Tiff. Every week you see this. They gave her an Austin pop when she won the title at the beginning of January. They're going to pick her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that they're going to pick her. Because they have continually picked her. And even against, like, Becky, you know, she wasn't booed. It was pretty even. Bailey, a couple months, weeks ago, when they were wrestling, the crowd was kind of confused because they liked both of them. Mm-hmm. They weren't booing either side. I know they're going to cheer Kip. So this is going to be a situation where, again, they're booing Charlotte because she has one trick.
Yeah.
And for 10 years, well, she's busted
exactly.
One trick.
That's the thing. Like, we're coming up on 10 years this month, actually, from the NXT, women's Fatal 4-Way match that they did with the Four Horsewomen. And, like, Becky's obviously changed entirely in that time. Bailey's obviously changed entirely, you know. Mercedes has changed slightly, but she could get by because she was the best worker of all of them. And Charlotte is just, she was never the best worker, and her character was always just like, I'm Rick's daughter.
Right.
Even when they weren't, like, beating you over the head with it, that's always the underlying thing. Like, I'm a Flair, you know,
And that's okay. That's okay if you don't try to fuck with the formula, which they consistently, and they would do it with Flair sometimes too, where they would try to, you know, have Flair come off as a babyface because Flair had that popularity. But guess what? Charlotte Flair is not her father.
No.
Charlotte Flair does not have the cachet that Ric Flair has. Charlotte Flair does not have the respect in the community the way that Ric Flair has. So to continue to try to switch it up and try to make her a babyface when she don't have the babyface in her, the way that even Rick could pull off at times, stop doing that. Stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Yeah.
Just keep her a heel. And if you want to do fucking Rhea and Charlotte 3, people ain't going to complain because they love Rhea and they hate Charlotte.
I think the issue just becomes like, okay, like, you know, how much leniency do they give her? She probably has a ton. And really, even if they did pivot and if she was a heel, it's like, okay, if she just wins again, like, again, we've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it feels like it's a situation where, like, I think Tiff should win. I don't know if she's going to, but I feel like Tiff should win this, but down the road.
Yeah.
Or should at least emerge victorious from the feud. And if she doesn't, then I think in 2025, that's going to be a problem, even if she plays the heel role. Because again, you might lean into those reactions, but it doesn't solve the problem.
It's also possible that they're trying to do like a 2002 Triple H thing with her.
Also true.
It's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. It's really not going to work. And then if you had sense, you could see it never working. Which is why I was always very iffy about the plans of her and Tiffany. I'm like, okay, it is a WrestleMania match. Is that the best one that you're going to get?
Yeah.
Hell no. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. The bigger story out of the Rumble, which is crazy that the bigger story than the person winning, is that Alexa Bliss is finally back. It's been 2 years since we've seen Alexa in WWE. She returned. She looked very much like she left. So we'll see, you know, what's up with her or Wyatt 6 or what have you. Wyatt 6 is on SmackDown. She's on SmackDown, of course. We're taping this before SmackDown. But I'm just happy to see Alexa, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, I mean, especially because the reports leading up to it were like, oh, she's not coming back. You know, they're kind of an impasse. And, you know, that might have been true. They might have just, you know, went back to the table and figured it out. But probably good for her. It is apparently a 5-year deal. You know, listen, from her last deal to now, a lot of things have changed there with financials and stuff. And I don't blame her for wanting to cash out, man. She clearly has outside stuff that she's going to be interested in. So, yeah, do this one last run and go cash out and do your outside stuff. It's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. I actually think if they do, you know, Judgment Day, Wyatt 6, it'll actually be quite a fun time.
Yeah, two things. Alexa, and again, we're recording this early. Alexa is going to be in a qualifying match tonight for the Chamber against Candice. And Bianca is wrestling Piper in the other qualifier. Liv had qualified early on. Liv also had eliminated Alexa. If they're going to be doing this Wyatt 6 and Judgment Day thing, I would watch for Alexa to get in, and I would watch for Alexa to possibly get her win back on Liv by eliminating her in the Chamber, is where I think that's going. And yeah, it's great to see her back. There was... I honestly did think for like a brief period that she wasn't going to come back, but at the same time, it didn't feel like this was a situation tenuous enough to cause a rift that big for her not to come back. And really, it would be, I think that would be disappointing if that's how it ended.
Yeah, I agree.
With her just ending it and losing in a match against Bianca 2 years ago at the Rumble and then never coming back.
Yeah.
So it's good to see this, because I think everybody from that 2015 year, we just talked about Charlotte, everyone from that era deserves a proper sign.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It was a great showing for a lot of young girls. I loved, seeing Jada Parker in the mix. Roxanne obviously set the record.
Lash looked great.
Lash looked really good, too. I thought some of the younger talent that was getting their first or second looks in Mania, in the Royal Rumble looked terrific.
Yeah. No, I agree. Jordan Grace, obviously, we saw her last year, but she was back and looks good. By the way,
Jordan Grace now officially in WWE. Yeah. So
I guess her going to NXT for a little bit does make sense, especially, with the road to WrestleMania and stuff.
Right. Don't want to get her swallowed up.
Yeah, it seems like at this point, too, Roxanne is done after next weekend.
Yeah, no, she's done because she's
got a chamber qualifying.
Yeah, she's also in a chamber qualifying match on Monday. Bayley's facing Lyra Valkyria. Roxanne is wrestling Raquel Rodriguez. I would expect Roxanne to go over in that match.
Oh, absolutely.
They're shooting her out of the cannon right now. I think if I have one gripe from this match, sort of the same idea as the men's, there are too many people in it. But there were too many people in it almost too often times, and there were a lot of people in this match who were in there for a lot and didn't wind up doing anything. I mean, there were... I can see several people here that were just doing cardio.
They mm-hmm. waited too long to do the Nia spot.
They waited way too long to do the Nia spot.
And it was too rushed.
It was too rushed. She also came in at 29, so you had to wait for everybody to get in there. And by then, you have, and I don't mean to single anyone out, but I'm just looking at this, like, Candice was in there for 16 minutes, no eliminations. Lyra, who they gave the Intercontinental title to, at 16 minutes, no eliminations.
Yeah, what were they doing in the damn ring?
Michin and Natalya, Michin and Natalya, 17 minutes each, no eliminations.
Zelina
had 18 minutes and no eliminations. Steph Vaquera had 19 minutes and no eliminations, which kind of is what it is, but at the same time, Jordan Grace gets one.
No, but again,
how does Jordan Grace only have one?
She should have done the clear out spot.
Yeah, she should have done the clear out spot. That's how you put her over, make her look strong.
If you wanted to wait for Nia, and even if Nia was going to do a clear out spot too, who cares?
Yeah.
Do it twice. Instead, you have two people getting 13 of the eliminations, everyone else, and they didn't come out until the last four spots. So.
Because that just, all that does is, it shrinks everybody else.
Yeah.
It shrinks everybody else. The star power isn't felt. They did a Bayley and Io stare down, but you couldn't pay attention to it because there were a million other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
They did a thing with Bianca and Naomi, and Bianca, Bayley, and whoever, they all just linked up like it was nothing. You could have had time to maybe set that out. You didn't have 8 or 9 people in the ring at all times.
Yeah, exactly.
They gotta be bolder. Mm-hmm. And they have to give way, way more to their stars and ring and leaders. Even the people that went long, the top six, Rox, Liv, Io, Bianca, Bayley, Naomi, 6 clear top stars. There were 7 eliminations between those 6.
Yeah. And I get it, too. Like, you want to be fair. You want to give everyone a chance to get their shit in. But that's not what the Royal Rumble is.
Exactly. That's not what the Royal Rumble is at all. It's not meant to be a fair match.
Yeah. I like the match,
though. Oh, yeah. It was a good match. That was just one break.
Had a couple ladies come back. Obviously, the bigger one is Nikki Bella coming in at 30. Welcome back to Nikki.
Yes.
By the way, Brie was in Philly a couple weeks ago for an NFC championship game. Had some homies who were in comedy who also love wrestling who caught up with her, and she was in Brie mode. She's definitely in Brie mode. And then Trish came back. What do you think is next for both of those two? I mean, it's obviously a crowded women's division. So they've obviously stamped themselves as Hall of Famers. But, it's WrestleMania season. I think you can see one or the both of them doing something.
Yeah.
Especially because this is what they're playing up as. This is Trish's 25th anniversary.
Yes, yeah. They are playing it up as Trish's 25th. I think it really depends on what they decide to do with some of their top women's stars, really. Because, you could put... I'd be for Bianca versus Trish, but I don't know what they're doing with Bianca. I don't know when things are being hashed or finished out with her and Naomi in the tag title run. So that needs to play out. I think you could if you really wanted to have confidence behind someone like Lyra, you could give her someone like a Nikki and, you know, put her on a different map or whatever and have her lie down for it and, at first and whatnot. That would be a good look for her. That would be a good spot. These are sort of the things that they can do. They have, and I think they have enough where you can kind of play with a few different pieces. And even Bailey, like, she might face Roxanne, but if they have bigger plans for Roxanne, then Bailey could possibly wrestle Nikki. Nikki eliminated her from the Rumble. That's mm-hmm. something they could easily tie back.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think Trish was one of the people eliminated by Nia, so that doesn't help.
That doesn't, no, yeah, exactly.
But, like, Elimination Chamber's in Toronto. Maybe she.
Maybe, but gets she would in have there, to.
That'd be
they'd
weird.
Have to.
Yeah, they'd have to do a qualifier.
Yeah, they'd have to do a qualifier.
There's no real, like, perfect fit for either of them at WrestleMania. Maybe if you do get Brie back, you finally put the tag titles on Nikki and Brie. But again, I don't know what the tag titles, because I don't think Bianca's going to have them going into WrestleMania.
I'd be surprised.
So it's a lot up in the air right now. But, like, again, you know, it's cool. Like, obviously, Trish has been back, but I think it was time for Nikki to be back too. And like, mm-hmm. she wants to wrestle again. Cool. Like,
and I think that, yeah, I think people's reactions to that were a bit weird, but my perspective is that something obviously terrible happened to her a few months ago. And I would imagine that even while she and the company were beefing, it's entirely possible that, you know, allowed things to reset a little bit.
Also, like,
And she's entitled to, you know, want to embrace
it. And yeah, she wants to do it because she has all kinds of outside stuff that she does. I don't think it's a money thing.
No, she wants to do this.
Yeah,
like, and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, she has the autonomy to come and do it. It's obviously somewhere safe for her to be around girls that she's comfortable with and happy to be around. I think everyone can understand that. It's good to see her back in general.
Yeah.
We're done with the Rumbles. Let's move on to the WWE title match. And of course, Cody won. We kind of know Cody's going to be wrestling most likely whoever wins the Elimination Chamber. So we're not here for him, although we have plenty of time to discuss if Cody's going to go back to some evil ways. However, Kevin Owens was pissed once he woke up from that coma on Monday. And he took it out on Sami Zayn for not helping him. Package pile drivered him. It seems like we might be getting a KO Sammy 3 at WrestleMania, or at least maybe as much. But my only issue with that is what happened Monday wasn't built up the way it should have been. It did not feel the way that it should have felt to see KO turn on his best friend. Again, it was just very much like, oh, KO, Evan Owens, package pile driver to Sami Zayn. It was very much like a nothing burger.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting because throughout their entire, you know, run, they've been intertwined the whole time. It's never really felt stale, but, like, I'm not going to say if they have another match at WrestleMania that, you know, I'm disappointed in it. It's not going to feel stale, but it's kind of like that triple threat we talked about earlier where it's just two guys. There's not really many stakes to it. We've seen it before, and, like, you know, good for that. I wonder if they might do it at Elimination Chamber and Kevin Randy is the plan for WrestleMania because Randy's still not back. Yeah, I mean, like, maybe that adds to it a little bit because it would be big for both of them. And,
exactly.
I mean, Sammy already lost his Chamber qualifier, so maybe they do it there. But, yeah, it's a WrestleMania match. It's a little weird. I'm not saying, like, it won't be good or whatever. People won't be invested. It feels a little underwhelming after, you know, the past few WrestleMania matches that they both had where they've kind of been more featured.
And so if it's not, that gets that makes my issue with the bigger, because why the fuck would you do it anyway? Why would you have him turn on his only, after we did so much to build that up into a championship match, or sorry, it was a championship match, but a main event tag title championship match at WrestleMania, to pass it off on a nothing burger to build to WrestleMania, and it's KO and Randy. I don't understand the point of doing that.
Yeah, and
you could have got around to the Randy thing with another Cody match, to be honest with you.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, plus if you do Sammy and KO there, it probably means Sammy's wrestling Cross at WrestleMania because that's been a thing that they've kind of been keeping going. So that sounds bad too. Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, again, like, it's a case where I think they could win me over, but it does feel a little underwhelming.
And then I like what they did with the tag titles. They're very much you know, trying to signal that you're going to have another multi-man tag. Mm-hmm. Street Profits are going to be involved in it. Which, sidebar, I like that. B-Fab is getting some run. B-Fab looks really nice. A lot of blue chip potential, I think. However, yeah, I think they're doing a good job with kind of, you know, positioning the tag teams, at least on SmackDown. Raw, I don't really know what the fuck we're doing.
Raw's, well, the thing with Raw, I think, you know, once they get out of the funk with Judgment Day, I guess not really a funk, but once they decide to move on there, they will probably have their division open up a little bit. That's just mainly a feature of Triple H's style of booking is to generally have the faction hold the titles. I mean, if you look in the history of the Undisputed Era, you have the Judgment Day, Bloodline, you had Damage Control hold titles also. Like, that's just, and obviously once that's done being Bogarted and once they get some more direction, I think you'll see it open up. There's like three different levels of storylines in the tag division on SmackDown now, and it did not take long for that to happen either. It took about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And
they've done a good job.
I hope that we're building towards a multi-man tag match, multi-tag ladder match, maybe even TLC.
That'd be fun.
I would be totally for that, especially since it's a separate set of titles now. You're going to do it for two.
Jacob Fatu in a TLC match is terrifying.
Yes. What I would say is I would prefer it this way also because there's actually storylines. Because like I said, you know how it's been. Mm-hmm. The multi-person ladder matches, multi-tag ladder matches over the years, they just throw them all into a big basket and say, yeah, go. This one might actually have some legs to it. That intrigues me. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited.
All right. We're done with the Rumble. We're done with modern day professional wrestling. Let's get back to finish out 2008. What a banner year. Probably the last quality year of this era.
Yeah,
for WWE.
So. All right. Well, we got a lot of notes for December in general before we get into Armageddon. So let's just start with the movies. Your top 10 movies for December 2008. Marley and Me, Four Christmases, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Yes Man, Bedtime Stories, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Twilight, Seven Pounds, Valkyrie, and Bolt.
Bolt was number one for the whole month? Get the fuck out.
That was 1 to 10.
Wow. It was 1 to 10.
Yeah.
So Marley and Me? Really?
Yeah, well, it came out on Christmas, yeah, and you know, it was hyped and everyone loves a story about a dog and
that was
never yes, nature.
Wow. Was there really nothing else out on Christmas?
Valkyrie, I believe, was also Christmas and Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button didn't beat out Marley and Me? Okay. Wait, Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston. Okay, I mean...
Yeah. It was a dog, man.
Hey. Yeah.
All right, we also had the 2008 Slammy Awards, first one since 1997. Let's go through the WWE Awards real quick. Superstar of the Year went to Chris Jericho. Hard to argue that one. Diva of the Year was Beth Phoenix. Tag Team of the Year was Miz and Morrison. Match of the Year was Flair Michaels at WrestleMania. Breakout Star of the Year is Vladimir Kozlov, which, no. Kozlov, Kofi, Evan Bourne, or Ted DiBiase, which you could have voted for any of those other three and been better off.
What the fuck?
Announced Team of the Year is Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker, which is also terrible. Finishing Move of the Year is Airborne. Couple of the Year, Edge and Vicky Guerrero. Extreme Moment of the Year, Jeff Hardy gives Randy Orton the Swanton Bomb from the top of the Raw set. Best Musical Performance was R-Truth's Entrance. And Best Impersonation, which were all Charlie Haas awards, was Charlie Haas as the Glamour Haas. So yeah, the Slammies are back. They'll be back for a few years and then go away again. And I think they did them last year, I want to say.
They did do them last year.
Oh, yeah, they did them before WrestleMania last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the lead up to WrestleMania. All right. Do you have any sports?
Yeah, so December 2008 was a very interesting month. It began with Plaxico Burress getting arrested. And that, of course, changed the course of the entire National Football League season.
Yeah.
Because the Giants were well on their way to potentially repeating. And you know what happened after that. Continuing on here, we had Let's see. As we go along, I know later on in the month, the Yankees signed A.J. Burnett, Mark Teixeira, and C.C. Sabathia. Mm-hmm. Baseball Hall of Famer, C.C. Sabathia.
Congrats to C.C.
So that occurred later on. Florida won the SEC championship against Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide. Of course, that's year two over in Tuscaloosa for Saban. Once again, Urban Meyer's Gators will be competing for the national championship against the Oklahoma Sooners, who dismantled Mizzou 62-21. The Sooners have hit 60 points for five consecutive weeks. Wonder what's going to happen there. Elsewhere, some other notable games that day. USC won the Pac-10, got a trip to the Rose Bowl. They're going to play Penn State. I'll tell you how that one goes. USC rolls.
That's how you know it's a long time ago.
Virginia Tech is going to play in the Orange Bowl against Cincinnati. Cincinnati came back and beat Hawaii 29-24. I believe those were Brian Kelly's Cincinnati Bearcats at that point in time. Moving forward here. Let's see if there's anything. Some bowl games were announced. Bama's playing Utah. Ohio State's playing Texas in the Fiesta Bowl. Texas won that game. I remember that one. And the Giants clinch the NFC East despite losing to Philadelphia. And once again, that would be a sign of things to come.
Yes.
The Cardinals won the NFC West title and clinched a home playoff game for the first time in franchise history since 1947. When they played at Comiskey Park, when they were the Chicago Cardinals. For the fourth consecutive election, the Veterans Committee failed to elect a single player to the Baseball Hall of Fame, with no player gaining more than 39 of 48 votes. That happened.
That's happened once. That's happened once else since then, right? Was there? There was another year within the last, like, 10?
Yeah.
Like, 16 or something?
Mm-hmm. Greg Maddux announced his retirement from baseball. Francisco Rodriguez signed with the Mets.
That was a big one that happened.
That was a big one. Yeah, that was a big one at the time.
Shout out to the Mets. Good Lord.
The Bears won on Thursday Night Football against the Saints.
I don't even remember that game. I do kind of remember that game. Very vaguely.
It was the one before the blocked field goal.
Yeah, the one before the blocked field goal against the Packers. Yeah. Yeah.
God, which both kept their postseason hopes alive, and then they fucked it all up in week 17 anyway.
Lord have mercy, you sons of bitches. Like, don't get me fucking started with these motherfuckers. What a year.
The Sixers fired Mo Cheeks after a 9-14 start.
Use Mo Cheeks. What else can I say?
That's true.
Sam Bradford became the second sophomore to win the Heisman Trophy over Tim Tebow and Colt McCoy.
I want to go back in time and tell the St. Louis Rams, don't fall for it. Take number two. Take the number two on the board. You will be perfectly fine.
Yep. The Lions went 0-16.
They deserve to.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions get everything that they deserve.
The Colts won once again, and they are going to be the fifth seed in the playoffs. I remember they were like 3-4 to start the year. They've gone on a long winning streak. I wonder how that will end for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't face the Chargers. That would be bad. The Ravens stomped out the Cowboys rather, in the final game at Texas Stadium. Two things that I remember distinctly from this game were Willis McGahee's run against the Cowboys, and LaRon McClain's run against the Cowboys, which made Deion Sanders leave the booth. That game was on NFL Network. I remember watching it at my nana's. My dad was unhappy because he's a Cowboys fan. And then other than that, we can roll forward.
All right. All right. December 2008, we got some notes from the Observer here.
Yes.
Belief in TNA is that Christian Cage is gone, heading back to WWE, which he is. He'll be back.
Yes.
Shortly. And,
see, when people heard this at the time, nobody thought he was going to go to ECW. People thought that he was going to be involved in the Edge and Jeff Hardy thing that they were building, and that he was the one who took out Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
So the Matt thing wasn't what people thought was going to happen.
This one's timely. Vince is mad at Hulk Hogan. Probably not going to be at WrestleMania 25 because Stone Cold's going to be there. Yeah, there was a recent episode of Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling that Vince felt exposed the business or whatever. And yeah, they're mad at each other again. So, yeah, you know, sure, whatever. Every year at this point. Christian has not signed a contract with WWE yet, but Dustin Reynolds has, and he is back as Goldust, which I don't really... Yeah, I guess because he stays until the Cody stuff, and...
Yeah.
That's fair. Let's see. Bruce Pritchard is no longer with the company. It ends a 22-year run with the company for him. The story goes he didn't really see eye to eye with Stephanie McMahon. I truly can't believe he's still there with Triple H being there in charge for...
Ooh, Bruce?
Yeah. Two to three years at this point.
That is a bit surprising.
Speaking of Kelly Kelly, a few weeks ago there was a tease of Batista and Kelly Kelly because they were seeing each other behind the scenes, and we got a rib both of them on the television. Lord. Also, Batista was asked about it and said that they had a relationship, but she was immature, and it ended. Which probably because she was 21 and he was 40,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Creative has had recent discussions regarding bringing Kurt Angle back in.
I didn't even know this happened.
TNA contract was set to expire in September of 2009. Probably for the best that they didn't bring him back, just because he was not doing well.
He was not doing well. It would have been exacerbated up there.
Also, in December, we had the big fight between Oscar De La Hoya and Manny Pacquiao, billed as the dream match at the time.
Boy,
yeah,
this was
everywhere. This
insane
marketing for this everywhere. You know, if you were watching wrestling, if you were watching anything at the time, a 9th round TKO for Manny Pacquiao. They were coming back from tribute to the troops, and JBL was mouthing off, and Joey Styles punched him in the face.
Pretty famous
fight. Frank Mir did an interview, said that he is going to follow up beating Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira by beating Brock Lesnar's last match. Brock Lesnar will never be able to beat me because there's no submission skills. What's he going to do? Knock me out? No one has ever knocked me out.
Yeah, I remember grabbing my feet on the couch. Hi, brother.
The finish to the second Brock Lesnar-Frank Mir match does, in fact, feature Brock Lesnar knocking him out.
Fight.
Yes. True.
And a big surprise, The Miz and John Morrison won the World Tag Team titles from CM Punk and Kofi Kingston in the opening match of a house show in Hamilton.
You remember that? They used to change the tag titles on the house shows.
Well, they used to, yeah, because...
Often enough,
because, again, it was their trick. Like, oh, you better show up to a house show. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, good stuff. Snitsky was released on December the 11th. Wow. Obviously, he felt for some time he wasn't going to be a headliner. I mean, it's the end of 2008.
It's Snitsky.
Oh, shit.
Whatever.
He turned 39 in a few weeks. They felt they'd give his spot to someone younger. Yeah, Texas Stadium closed, like Chris talked about. Batista's hurt, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Batista's also bad at this point. We'll talk about it when we talk about Armageddon, but he's not good anymore. WWE is going to add a new television show in April, bringing back WWE Superstars, which will air on WGN America.
Yes.
Before they agreed to that, they were in talks of getting TNA and Ring of Honor. But they're going to go with Superstars. So good for WGN America. Okay. Let's talk about Armageddon. So we open the show, a non-title match between Vladimir Kozlov and Matt Hardy. I mean, as you can expect, it's not very good.
No. And both guys aren't really good at this point.
Yeah, like, I kind of forgot how bad Matt got. Like, you know, I wasn't, like, really watching at this point, but he's not good anymore this whole year. Like,
he's really not.
No.
They really didn't need to bring him back after the Edge stuff. I mean, that stuff's good, but, like, ultimately it just got Edge over and not
well,
Matt.
Well, I think the thing is that the tag stuff always works, but, I mean, him as a singles guy, it's hard to care. I mean, the version one stuff was as high as we got. I'm surprised that he never went back to that well.
Yeah.
Because that, I feel, was something that he uniquely did by himself that was more than just the flat, I think the flat stuff as a singles guy that he had post-Edge.
That's fair. Yeah, I could agree with that.
Because really, I mean, like, why wouldn't you try? I mean, unless it was denied, I mean, whatever. But, I mean, you could have gone back to that version 2.0 or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
you could at least try to recreate the magic with something good rather than stick with something that wasn't working.
Yeah,
and I think people would have gone for it. I mean, people enjoyed the hell out of it at the time. Like, and it was it's a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah. We go backstage at Edge and Vicky and Chavo are in Vicky's office. Edge has to go get ready for his match, so Chavo kind of wants to dig a little more into how they took out Jeff the night before Survivor Series, but Vicky's not telling him. Because they didn't do it. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Finlay was also backstage with Hornswoggle, running around doing Hornswoggle stuff and whatever. Then up next, we get the Intercontinental Championship Tournament final between Rey Mysterio and CM Punk to get here. We had an 8-person tournament. Kofi beat Kane, Rey beat Miz, Finlay beat Morrison, Punk beat Snitsky, and Rey beat Kofi, and Punk beat Morrison. So that gets us to Rey against Punk. I mean, you know, always a fun time when these two wrestle. They could run it tonight on SmackDown. It'd be good again. So.
Yeah.
It's what you'd expect. It's a babyface match between these two guys, and surely you've seen them wrestle as babyfaces before, so... Yeah, I mean, it's a good time. Punk got the win. He will be number one contender for William Regal's Intercontinental Championship. We move on to Shawn Michaels coming out. And his thing is, it's 2008, and like a lot of people, he's broke now. So JBL is employing him and his services and such. They did a promo segment on a pay-per-view, so you know it's a big deal. We'll see where this goes.
What a storyline.
Yeah.
Like,
so weird. Also, like, doesn't this make the company look really bad?
You think?
One of your biggest active wrestlers is just broke and you're not doing anything about it.
That makes Shawn look bad, right? Like,
I think it makes everyone look bad. Someone of Shawn's stature is maybe paid to have his own surgeries and whatnot, being hurt on their watch.
Well, they said, you know, he did some investments and he got...
Yeah, like...
taken. You know, I don't know, like... Whatever.
What can you say, man? What can you say?
They gave him the what treatment. That's how much they didn't buy this
stuff. Yeah. Randy's being interviewed by Eve, and Cody and Monty were there with him. He said he was the crown jewel of Evolution. Batista was his hired muscle. Cody said Batista doesn't possess the skills of a second or third generation wrestler like them, and Monty said that Randy's been waiting 4 years and he'll expose Batista for the fraud that he is. Tonight, Randy will cement his legacies. That's the name of the group, Legacy.
Yes. Yeah, they said it.
There were some Buffalo Bills at ringside. I don't recognize any of them. They were still kind of losers back then, so.
Yeah.
It was a Trent Edwards in 2008.
Yeah, you know. We get a Belfast brawl between Mark Henry and Finlay. I mean, it's a fun time. Like, it's not as good as the Finlay JBL one, but, you know, they get some weapons and Hornswoggle helps Finlay win with the Shillelagh, and you get all the fun, you know, mid-card pay-per-view stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mr. Kennedy was there to plug the release of Behind Enemy Lines Columbia, which he is starring in.
Yes.
So, sure.
Kennedy.
All right. Let's talk about Batista and Randy Orton. This match is not very good.
It's not very good.
They were never good together.
No, they really weren't. And again, just at this point, like, it's the end of 2008. Batista clearly is very old and broken down at this point. Like, I mean, his run's not that much longer from what I remember. I think, what, like 2010?
Yeah.
Came by.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Again, it all works out for him, so it's fine. But yeah, he's at this point, they kind of... All of 2008, really, he's not much of a factor.
No, he's really not. That's the thing. And it's unfortunate, really, because I think that this has really given us a good look at him. And I think history does him kindly.
I think so.
I think from 05 to 07, he's unquestioned. His spot is unquestioned.
Yeah.
I think that for whatever reason, once they left... his time as champion and really top guy on SmackDown at the start of 2008 is where they kind of he kind of lost their way and they kind of lost their way with him too.
Yeah,
because they only had him wrestle Umaga at Mania 34 or 24 rather. It's a good match, but it's pretty forgettable on a card that's honestly pretty good.
Yeah. So again, even despite all that, Batista wins this match.
He does.
Which is strange because of what's to come with Randy.
Yes.
Like, and they also get 17 minutes and stuff. It didn't really work. Like, I get why you wanted it to work. There are two big stars and it's a match you'd only done, you know, a handful of times up till then. But like,
precisely.
Yeah, just not really worth it. Had a Santa's Little Helper, Eight Divas tag match where Maria, Mickey, Michelle, and Kelly defeated Maurice, Victoria, Natalia, and Jillian Hall. And then...
I agree. Wow.
Yeah. And then it was time for the main event. 2008 Superstar of the Year, Chris Jericho against John Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Can I just say, by the way, maybe timely here looking at that eight-woman tag, I want to clarify, don't mean any disrespect, don't mean to be too divergent. I like the fact that the young girls get looks in the Women's Rumble match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I want my legends back.
Yeah, we needed more Victoria.
Why was
Mickey in the crowd?
Yeah,
she should have been in the match.
Like, have her be in the match.
Yeah, no, I mean...
You want to talk about... You talk about theme songs.
Yeah.
Right there.
Exactly.
Right there.
But yeah, no, as far as Cena Jericho goes, I actually liked it
more than
the Survivor Series match. I think it was only like 12 minutes compared to the other one was 20.
Yeah, relatively short, but it worked.
Yeah, they did a good job with it. I thought it was quite good, and they just kind of went out there and did their thing. And, you know, they didn't really have the kind of timing and story down for the Survivor Series match. And this one they did. Obviously, Cena won. He reversed the Walls of Jericho into the STFU.
Yeah.
Jericho tapped. You know, Cena's got an interesting few months coming up.
Oh, God. It's a weird few months.
Yeah. So
very nonsensical. So get ready for it.
Yeah, and that was it for Armageddon, the final Armageddon.
The final Armageddon. That's correct.
Oh, no, it was not.
No,
yeah,
not,
I was
going to
say, did you forget the big, did you forget the big part of Armageddon?
Big part.
We ain't finishing with a John Cena match, man.
Yes.
Biggest part.
Oh, how could we forget? Jeff Hardy versus Edge versus Triple H.
Which, for the record, the fan vote said that Edge was the one responsible for the attack.
It did.
Fans only have their eyes on what's in front of them.
They do. Yeah, again, some people thought they might bring Christian back here to help Edge or whatever, like you were talking about.
Yeah, because like I said, that's where people thought that this was legitimately going. They thought they could... Even being in ECW was not on anyone's radar.
No.
And at the time.
No, and why would it?
Because it's nonsensical. Because it's nonsensical.
Yeah, that too.
But yeah, as far as this match goes, like, really the best execution they could have had they were trying to do.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, Kozlov came out and did try and get involved, then Matt Hardy took him out, and, you know, even things up for Jeff. And whenever Edge and Triple H were in there, Jeff would be in there to break it up. It's not, you know, one of the best triple threat matches that they've ever done, but it's up there. I mean,
it's a strong show.
You know, yeah, it's a great main event. Yeah, and, you know, it's time to crown Jeff. Edge is there to take the pin, I guess, because Triple H wouldn't do it. I mean, whatever.
That's fair. But also, like, I bet he probably argued this. It's cheekier to have Jeff pin Edge after all their history.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But also, like, Jeff does have a memorable win against Triple H on his ledger.
Yeah.
He won the Intercontinental title on SmackDown in 2001.
That's right. They also did the famous spot where Triple H is going for the pedigree, and then Jeff gets out of it, and then Edge spears Jeff through the announce table, which is crazy.
That was wild.
Yeah, that was one of the... That's something that I don't think they've even really done that.
No, definitely not. That was...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeff wins. Jeff's the WWE champion finally. Everyone is going wild for it. You know, he gets to celebrate a little bit in the ring and around the ring. It's good. You know, he deserves it, and he climbed up to the top of the set to pose with the belt and ended the show.
Yeah, long time coming for Jeff Hardy. You know, when you think back of that 10-year period of professional wrestling, is, you know, you kind of start counting how many guys would get the biggest pops, and, you know, Jeff's certainly in the top 10 of that category in a way that Matt just never was as popular, and you knew it. You know, no one had to question it. No one had to really think about it. Jeff was the star. You know, he had the look. He had the daredevil skill. He had the charisma. You know, maybe he was missing the structure that was needed to stay the top guy, but it was good that they gave him, similar to the Jesu thing, and this, you know, to bring it back around home, to capitalize when they needed to capitalize on a hot hand. And Jeff had the hot hand, they gave him the title belt, and it sucks that we only get like these, what, 8 or 9 months of Jeff on top for circumstances, obviously, but, you know, yeah, I give credit where credit's due for putting the belt on him, so. Let's get up out of here, man. We appreciate you guys for sticking around every week. We hope you're enjoying all the content down in New Orleans. Scott and them are putting out on Radio Row. They talk to DJ Moore, Romo Dunze. They talk to Matt Nagy. They talk to a whole bunch of folks down there. Stu Gotts, Jared Payton, Matt Forte. Whether you love the Bears, whether you love football, man, tap into the Barbershare Company. We went through a rebrand. Of course, we got the podcast side, but we're doing so much more than that. So give us a listen. Give us a watch wherever you consume us. And then rate us and review us, man. 5 stars. Leave us a comment. Those things matter when it comes to the progression of this entity that we have built over the last, good Lord, close to a decade at this point. I don't have the handles on me now because they've changed, but just search the Barbershare Company. Guarantee you gonna find it. I'm Pierce for Rob and Chris. We appreciate you being around for Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you and we'll talk about everything that happened on the lead up to Elimination Chamber. We'll talk about Royal Rumble in 2009, a very interesting Royal Rumble, I must say. We'll get through all of that next time we get together on Ruthless Aggression. You guys take it easy.